Commissioner Ritchie, are you ready to begin?
Yeah. So, Mike, if you wouldn't mind, or Nydia, why don't you call the roll?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and call the roll. And so we'll be calling to order the board meeting for the Housing Authority of the City of Austin, the board meeting for Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, and the board meeting for Austin Affordable PFC. Commissioner Bailey?
Here.
Commissioner Carrington? Commissioner Carrington?
She's here.
Thumbs up. And Commissioner Duncan Hall?
Present.
And Commissioner Apostola?
Gosh.
And Commissioner Ritchie?
You cannot.
Present.
Chairman Ritchie, we have four board members here. Commissioner Apostolo is not present. The time being 12:02, the board meeting for again PACA, Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, and Austin Affordable PFC are called to order.
Okay. Let me just do a check real quick. Let me just ask you, do we need to take up the items in the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation as well as the Austin PFC?
We have one item in Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, which is the James on South First, that we would like to take up.
Okay.
That's item number 4 on the AHC agenda.
Okay. As it relates to the Austin Affordable, the Austin Public Facilities Corporation, those items, I plan to delay until the next board meeting unless Mike, you or Ron tell me that we have to take those up now.
Ron, they can be tabled?
That's fine.
Okay.
We can table them.
Okay.
All PFC items will hold till March.
Okay. So from right now, what I'm planning on doing is taking up do citizens communication, because I know we have at least one member of the public on, maybe more. The consent agenda on the Austin Housing Authority, and then items 3, 5, 6, 7, and 9, and also the one item on the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. And that way, I think
correct,
we can get out of here in about 30 minutes or less. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let's go with citizens communication. I believe we have Mary Alshire on the line. And if there's anyone else, then I'll ask. We will limit comments to only 3 minutes. Ms. Alshire, the floor is yours.
Yes, please. Please, on time. Can you move the other participants, please? Can you move mute the other participants, and then I'll start my presentation over?
I've taken care of it, Mary.
Okay, thank you. My name's Mary Elshire from Gaston Apartments. And when my 3 minutes up, just gently say time and I will stop. Gaston Apartments, Gaston Gang are tough. We're hanging in there, but we need some water now. And I was able to contact Home Depot on 51st Street in Mueller. And they have cases going for a little bit over $3, about $3.50. Or you can get a whole plat, which is 100 cases for about $350. And that would be budgeted to the National Disaster Relief Fund that was approved by Governor Abbott through President Biden. We desperately need water. People are going out and getting the ice. We need water. If we had $350, we could go over to Home Depot, which is less than a mile here, pick up 100 cases of water, put them in the Gaston lobby and check off people's names from the 100 apartments in our complex. And believe me, whatever water we don't use during this major disaster, we'll be able to use at other times. We can just put that water in the Gaston kitchen. So we're hanging strong over here, at Gaston. We made it through Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday with no heat. We made it. But we need water now. Thank you.
All right, Mary, thank you. I'll turn to Silvio Blanco to give you a quick response.
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Elshire. This is Sylvia. We completely agree, and we do have some water set aside for us at that Home Depot and also at one of the supermarkets at Eastland Plaza. So our staff is currently coordinating the logistics to get that water picked up. So thank you for your comments, and we completely agree. We are working on it as we speak.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have anyone else from the general public who would like to address the board at this time? Hearing none, then we will go to the consent agenda, which is to approve the board minutes from the January 21st, 2021 meeting. The chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I move approval of the minutes.
Motion by Commissioner Duncan Hall.
Second.
By Commissioner Carrington. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We will go to item number 3, which is resolution number 2690, approving the extension of a contract for independent auditing services.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mike Gerber. I'm going to turn it over to Ann Gass in just a moment. But as you know, we have worked with the firm of Berman Hopkins now for several years, and we have exercised our option to renew for an additional 2 years, 2017 and 18, and then renewed again for 2019 and 2020. The reason that we have gone with this firm for such an extended period has been because of our RAD conversion, as well as the different accounting, reporting, and compliance complexities associated with RAD, plus also, frankly, some of the staff turnover that we have had in our finance shop. We now are very concerned about the potential of having to switch out as we really now sort of finalize the progress that we've made in our RAD work. We have a new CFO, Barbara Chen, who is on the line. We have also we are also concerned because of, frankly, the pandemic and the inability right now of an auditing firm to actually come onto the premises and do the deep dive that you would expect early on. It just makes it impractical to really onboard in the way we would like. And so we're asking for an extension. Our anticipation is that this would likely be, could potentially be the last extension. However, we have, in talking to Berman Hopkins, we've indicated to them that we would like to revolve the lead partner. So Brian Nemeroff will step back and Laura Ann Prey, another partner, will step in so that we have a new, fresh set of eyes looking at the audit work. And then within Berman Hopkins, they have a review committee that will ensure that the audit has the rigor that we would expect, and they will go and conduct that work to make sure and to give the board and staff confidence that rigor is in place. And so with that understanding, we would ask for approval of resolution 2690. And Barbara or Ann, if there's anything you'd like to add to that, that would be great.
I think you covered it, Mike. I'm here on a pretty tenuous internet connection, so I'll let your comment stand.
So with that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2690 to approve an extension of an independent auditing services with Berman Hopkins. Is there a motion?
So move.
So move.
Motion by Commissioner Bailey, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. Is there further discussion? Hearing none,
yes.
All in favor. Okay, Mr. Commissioner Chair. Carrington.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm totally in favor of this. I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. But I do want to stress that when the 2 years is up, or before the 2 years is up, that we do put out an RFP for a new for an auditing firm. Good practices say you change them out regularly. I totally agree with staff's recommendation. I just want to go on the record to make sure that when this 2 years is up, that we are then going out and doing a new RFP.
All right, and I know Commissioner Bailey, Commissioner Duckenhall, myself, and although Commissioner Apostolo is not participating, that we all agree with your sentiments and agree that that is best practices and something that we should do, and that in the past that we have asked management to make sure that we do rotate this contract so that there is make sure that we have complete independence in terms of reviewing our financial records. So with that, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Let me just back up 1 second. Let me just acknowledge with us for her very first meeting is Barbara Chin, who is our CFO, and I'd like to welcome Barbara. Wish you could have come to us under different weather-related circumstances. But I'm glad that you are here and part of our team, and we look forward to working with you. And Barbara was such a trooper. She showed up yesterday at the office. and I'm glad that we were able to accommodate you since you didn't have power at your house where you're living. But as you can see, that we are a very friendly family and that we look out for each other.
Thank you, Chair and the Commissioner. Thanks.
Welcome, Barbara. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So with that, we'll go to item number 5, which is discussion and presentation and possible action on resolution number 2691 to approve the renewal of a contract for employee medical insurance. And I'll turn to Gloria Morgan.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Ms. Gerber, staff, and guests. I'm Gloria Morgan, the Director of Human Resources, and I'm here to present resolution number 2691 for discussion and approval and renewal of a contract of the employee medical insurance. As part of our compensation package, the Housing Authority currently offers its full-time employees medical coverage through United Healthcare, the exclusive provider organization, the EPO plan. Last year was our fourth year renewal of a four-year contract that was awarded to United Healthcare. On December 1st, 2020, the staff met with Gallagher Group, which is our insurance brokers, to discuss the upcoming renewal for the 2021-2022 fiscal year. United Healthcare initially proposed a 9% premium rate increase for Hawkins Medical Insurance, and through a series of negotiations between United Healthcare and the Gallagher Group, United agreed to provide HACA with a rate pass for 2021-2022 fiscal year based upon HACA's claims experience. This will result in HACA not receiving an increase in premiums this year. In light of ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and ensuring continuity and stability in medical and dental coverage for our employees, this is a high priority for us. Therefore, HACA desires a three-year extension with the option to renew annually with United Healthcare to continue to provide medical coverage to regular and full-time employees. In addition, HACA will continue to impose the surcharge of $50 per month to employees who choose to continue to use tobacco products as well. Employees may participate and complete a tobacco cessation program if they wish to avoid the surcharge. Therefore, in an effort to provide employees with the best affordable health care, HACA recommends United Healthcare be awarded a three-year extension to its current contract with the option to renew annually to provide employees health insurance coverage for the 2021-2022 fiscal year. And are there any questions? I don't have Sandra or anyone from Gallagher on the call this afternoon. So if you have any questions, I can assist.
Gloria, it's Chuck. I got a quick question.
Okay. Yes.
Who do you want to hear from first?
Either one.
Better be careful how you answer that.
Chuck, go ahead, okay. And then I think I got Tyra next.
Was part of the deal keeping it at the same level for the premiums, the agreement to stay with them for 3 more years?
We don't have to stay with them for 3 years. We do have the right to go out to bid if the premiums come back higher within the next few years. So we will review that.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. You're welcome.
Tyra?
My question was quite similar to Chuck's. And I see that we were able to not have an increase this year at 9%, but there is no guarantee that the 9% will not reoccur for next year, or at least we will have negotiations regarding an increase in premium. Is that correct?
That is correct. Our renewal is based on our claims usage, and this year our claims usage, of course, part of that was due to COVID, and a lot of people weren't able to get out and go to the doctor as they usually do. But next year, we have no idea what that may look like, what our renewal rate will look like. It will be based on our utilization.
Okay. But for the time being, given the importance of continuity and security, it might be better to go with this and then renegotiate if necessary.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I would just add, commissioners, that we have found United to be a very good partner, both in dealing with not only the issues we've been dealing with COVID, but also supporting other healthy health and wellness programs that we've had. They've partnered well with our employee assistance partner provider, helping with mental health issues. I think most team members have been very satisfied with the range of coverages that they're able to get through United, and there's, you know, it's not the biggest, one of the biggest, and we have found them to be a really strong partner. I think they know us. You know, we've done work with other parts of United through our Bringing Health Home initiative, so they know us as an agency, and I'm not sure if that has mattered or not. One side of the house is talking to the other. Visiting United is also trying to get a bit into the supportive service housing and affordable housing space as well. We've got strong, healthy relationships with them. And so from my perspective, I think Sylvia would agree, they've been a really great medical insurance provider, which is the decision you're making here today. But beyond that, they've also stepped up in some interesting partnership ways with our agency and a handful of others, largely through our partnership with CLAPA. And so we're excited about that. Sylvia, anything you want to add there?
No, Mr. Hey. Gerber, I covered it all. Yes, I completely agree. They've been a great partner, and they've been a great provider of services. And this reserves our right to go out for bid if the renewal rates come back too prohibitive.
And team members are ecstatic, obviously, about not having a rate increase this year. And Gloria did a great job working to negotiate that out. So thank you, Gloria. And staff would ask for a motion to approve resolution 02691.
So moved.
Okay. I so moved.
Motion by Commissioner Bailey, seconded by Commissioner Carrington. I was going to call on Commissioner Bailey in a second if you guys kept talking, just to get him to remind you. A good witness makes their case, and then they be quiet and move on so the jury can acquit.
when you said zero increase,
you had it there.
Wait a minute, acquit. I was always on the other side. I like to see the writing on my yellow pages, GAC, guilty as charged.
All right. Well, in this case, we got a zero increase. I figured we got acquitted. So with that, no further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Ms. Morgan, we'll call on you for the next item, which is discussion and approval, possible approval of resolution number 2692,
a contract for employee dental insurance.
Once again, good afternoon, Commissioners, Mr. Gerber, staff and guests.
Sorry, you just heard what our chair and commissioners just said. So I think this one can be very brief.
Yes. Basically, same thing. We had discussion with United Healthcare regarding our dental coverage. This year, there was no increase to either one of our plans, our DHMO plan, Dental Health Maintenance Organization plan, and our preferred provider plan. They did initially propose a 14.06 increase for the DHMO plan and a 6.64 premium increase for the PPO plan, which is our buyout plan. Once again, through negotiations, we were able to get a rate pass for both plans for this year, for the 2021-2022 fiscal year. Therefore, in order to continue to provide employees with the best available dental coverage, and based on our use, we would like to recommend that United Healthcare be awarded the contract, once again, with the stipulation of the three-year extension with the option to renew each year. So to provide coverage for the 2021-2022 fiscal year.
All right. Does anyone have any questions of Ms. Morgan? Commissioner Carrington?
No questions.
With that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2692 to approve a employee dental insurance contract with 0% increase.
Second.
Second Hall, is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And we'll go to item number 7 to Ms. Garcia for discussion and approval of the adoption of the revised housing choice voucher program utility allowance schedule.
Good afternoon, commissioners, staff, and guests. I'm here to ask for approval of resolution number 2693, the approval of the revised utility allowance schedules for the housing choice voucher program. This is a routine item, and this year we had Resident Life Utility Allowance, a division of NELRA, complete the study. After completion of the study, it was determined there was a 10% change compared to last year. And if there is a 10% change in the rates, then we are required to adopt the new schedules. The new schedules will go into effect for June 1 reexaminations and for any new leases. This year, I also requested that they do additional utility allowance schedule for energy efficient multifamily properties. This would be used primarily for tax credit properties or any properties built after 2014. And I am going to make sure I get with HUD to get approval of this new chart, as well as the process to certify that properties are eligible for this. In doing that study, Resident Life can use Energy Star consumption calculation to do the calculations for this chart, and that's the process that they used. I will now open it up for any questions.
Any questions from Ms. Garcia?
I have a comment about decreased rates, which I will not bother to elaborate upon.
Okay. Given that, the chair will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2693, approving the Housing Choice Voucher Program Utility Allowance Schedule.
So moved.
Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Carrington. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
And the motion carries. And with that, I'll turn this over to Commissioner Carrington to go to the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. You're on mute. You got to come off of mute.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I evidently had a lot of feedback, so Andrea fixed that. We've already called the meeting to order. I'd like to call the roll for the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. So, Commissioner Bailey? Commissioner
present.
Ritchie?
Present.
Commissioner Ritchie?
Present.
Commissioner Duncan Hall?
Present.
And I am present. Okay, and I do not have the book in front of me. I didn't print it. Barbara, Dan is going to put up the agenda item, but the first thing we need to do is approve the minutes of the meeting of last month. So if anyone has the book in front of them, I want a motion. Thank you, Tyra. Do I have a motion? Do I have a second? Thank you, Mr. Ritchie.
I move that we approve the minutes from the board meeting held on December 17th, 2020.
Okay. Thank you. And I think, Tyra, you made the motion to approve, I think?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bailey, you seconded? Yeah, you said, okay. No discussion, then I ask for a vote for the minutes of December the
17th. 2020 board meeting.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all. The next item for consideration, Suzanne is going to present this, and this is the James on South First potential acquisition for Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. It's also an acquisition in financing with Belveron Corporations, with Corporation, which we have done business with in the past. And with that, I will turn it over to Suzanne. Suzanne has put up the detail of the unit breakdown and I think somewhere the rents. So Suzanne, if you want to take this and also read into the record the resolution number, I would appreciate that.
I don't have the agenda in front of me. I didn't get a copy of it. Does anybody have it?
I do. The record, we are considering item number 2, which is resolution number 177, a presentation discussion and possible action by the board.
Commissioner Ritchie, sorry. We're actually going to put items 2 and 3 on. We're going to table those items till next month. So we're on item number 4. Which is a presentation, discussion, and possible action on resolution 00179 by the Board of Directors of AAHC, authorizing AAHC to execute any and all documents or to take other action as necessary or desirable to facilitate the acquisition of the James on South First Apartments, which consists of multifamily housing units and associated amenities here in Austin. And this would be to ground lease from HACA, cause AAHC subsidiary limited liability company to own the development, cause the owner to enter into the acquisition and development financing for the development, and lastly, to cause AAHC or the owner to execute any other documentation needed to allow the consummation of the transaction described. So we're on resolution 00179, item 4 on the AAHC agenda. And Suzanne, you're going to brief real fast on the James on South First.
Actually, Ron's going to take that one.
Happy to. Real quickly, this is a project that we've identified. We started working on this prior to Christmas. It's a 250-unit apartment complex on South First, just north of Slaughter Lane on the west side. It's a very beautiful property. Sits on a little over 13 acres. Has a great amenity package for the residents there. We have a really nice unit mix there of one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and three bedrooms. Belveron, who has partnered with us on three other properties already, is continuing their goal here in Austin to do affordable acquisitions. They have agreed to take 10% of these units and restrict them to 60% and below AMI across the entire portfolio, not just on the 50% of the affordable units, but on all of the units. So we'll have we should have a very, very strong affordable presence here. The other affordable units will be at 80 and below. Right now, the project is serving that market already as we speak, and we're keeping rents stable for the next 12 months. We'll be financing this through Bellwether Enterprises, which we secured a loan at 2.97%. So we've got a great interest rate there, and we're putting up an additional $1.2 million in capital for future needs should they be required. So we're very excited. We've got a great partnership with Belveron. They're very excited to either come to a board meeting or meet the board at some point, which I would love for you guys to all meet the partners, because they're truly a really good affordable partner. They're wanting to do some additional stuff with us, which we can share later. But this is the particulars. It's currently occupied at 97%. I will say we are assessing any damages that have occurred from this freeze. We heard that they do have some water issues, not major, but we will be assessing that as soon as we can get out.
Ron, question?
Yes, Kyra. Ma'am.
The 10 units that will be set aside for people, residents earning under 60% AMI, now, is that rent going to be frozen at whatever the rate will be now, or do we have to assume that as the other rents may increase, that these will increase as well?
So two things. It's not 10 units, it's 10% or 25 units. And all we're required to do is make 50% of the units affordable, or 125. Belveron's making 10% of the whole property at 60% and below. Those rents will be adjusted according to the family size. So if we have a one-bedroom family unit that of a person who has at 60%, we'll adjust the rents. So we'll have some downward rent adjustments. And those rents will be required allowable rents that we can based on the number of units. Based on the number of occupants. So we anticipate some downward rent adjustments, lowering rents to meet the 60% and below. So it'll vary depending, but they're not going to be fixed. They're not going to be raised. They're going to meet whatever our AMI requirements are to qualify those number of households at 60% and below. And of course, that will include all our voucher holders.
And Ron, isn't that kind of a unique thing with Belveron? I mean, we've never had a partner who's lowered the rent at a property. We've had owners who buy the property and have kept it where it is and increased in the market, seen the rents in the market. But we've never had an owner and a partner, as best I can recall, that's ever actually gone in and lowered the rents on folks.
You're exactly right. And this is a suggestion / requirement they put into this deal. While I push for affordability, they were the ones to bring this restrictive covenant on all our purchases. And so this will be a restrictive covenant in the ground lease and in the LPA, in the limited partnership agreement. So yes, they're very unique folks.
Ron, question or comment?
Yes, ma'am.
On this, on the 10% at or below 60%, I thought I remembered this board a couple of 3 months ago, and Tyra, I think in particular, asking about more affordability. So, is that is that agreement from Belveron something that you or we approached them with, or they volunteered it after you expressed a concern about lack of affordability?
No, they instituted this on their very first deal we brought with them way back at the Tallwood up in Northwest Hills. This is something that they brought to me to show their seriousness and their sincerity toward affordable housing. I always emphasize, obviously, the lower we can go, the better. And keep in mind, when I always present these, we always talk about a minimum of affordability. The state law requires us to do a minimum of 50% below 80. And we always strive to do more regardless, because our properties always achieve a higher affordability than what's required by state law. But this is a Belveron function. This is their requirement with us to continue to do deeper dive affordability. We've never had a partner that has dropped rents at closing. You know, when we take over, we'll be lowering rents on, and they didn't have to do the entire property. They only had to do really 50% of the property if they chose to, but they took it across the entire portfolio and all the sizes and all the, you know, the 100% of the portfolio. So that gave us 25. I'm assuming we'll have more units at 60 as we go forward. But this is at least one of the first only partners that we have an actual restrictive covenant that will always adhere to this, the 60% and below.
Who's the management company?
This will be managed by AMP.
AMP, okay.
And we're very excited about that because that gives us a lot of additional management control. The ties between AMP and HACA are the best of all of our management partners. And so we feel very integrated with them. And so that's very helpful to us in this. We also will probably, Commissioner Carrington, you mentioned sort of the affordability levels, after the last discussion. And of course, that's really centered around those public facility corporation deals, those three that we did, which, it was a novel product allowed by the legislature. There's a lot of legislative activity, I think, that's going to evolve around that issue. And so at the next board meeting, we will brief you all on that action. I don't know if that's a product, given our affordability goals, that we will use again. And I'm kind of glad that the board really pushed us, to make sure that we're doing the deeper dives, because those are where the folks that we serve, need to be.
Okay. Chair Carrington?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to make a comment about the presentation to Ron. I wanted to say I was especially pleased with the chart that at the back of this agenda item, where there is a breakdown of the area medium income by a percent and what the rental, a breakdown by income, so that we can see what is 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, etc. So that is very useful, and I know this has got to be hard work to do this, but I think for even some of these projects that we have in question in terms of affordability, it's a good thing to be able to see this for comparison. So I think that was very useful information. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And that's a lot of hard work from Suzanne as well behind the scenes.
Commissioner Carrington.
Yes, thank you for that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Bailey.
I've got two or three questions, but I'm kind of worn out. I haven't had any energy since Monday, or no power since Monday. So I don't know how far I'll get into this, but Ron, how are we financing this?
We're financing this through a Fannie Mae loan with through Fannie Mae, through Bellwether, our partner out in Dallas.
We're borrowing the money from Fannie Mae.
That's correct.
And where does the state requirements come in for percentage of affordable houses?
It's under the state government code 392, and under 392, there are specific requirements that allow our housing authorities and subsidiaries to maintain a property tax exemption. And so we follow state 392, that section of the government code.
So the entire property will not be subject to local and state property tax.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Are there any other questions for Ron and or Suzanne about James on South First? I might ask what the timing is on this transaction. When are you all anticipating closing?
We're anticipating closing by the end of this month. Barring that we don't have issues with any repairs / issues on the freezing part or any damage to the property, we'll have to work through that, which we'll be assessing next week when we can get out and probably Saturday, actually, because we'll be able to get out there by Saturday. But our anticipated closing date will be by the end of this next week, end of February. We have till the 28th.
Maybe a follow-up question to that, Ron. If there are damages, I mean, if there is damage to the property, mm-hmm. We don't own it yet. So what is the plan? What are your thoughts about how those repairs will be made?
It's going to be first, we need to assess those damages. And secondly, our lender may not allow us to close until we have a clear path to these repairs. Typically, they could postpone this until those repairs are complete, so the new lender doesn't have any liability with any contractor issues on the site. And I suspect that may be the case here, but we're not sure yet. But we will certainly not close at all. And Belveron is adamant about this. In fact, we're having a legal call tomorrow to discuss this with the sellers group. But I wanted to say that the sellers group is very cooperative, has been very understanding and very supportive. And in fact, they picked us because of the affordability that we were coming in. We had 16 other offers that we were competing with when we bought this project. And the fact that we were doing such a deep dive of affordability, they pulled all the other offers and allowed us to purchase this property. So we were very fortunate there. So they're very cooperative with working through these repairs. I don't anticipate an issue, but I don't have a scheduled closing time depending on the extent of the damage. And I will do some pretty strong mitigation. There are lots of provisions in the contract that speak to this, as far as damages prior to closing and the responsibility to the seller. We could also ask for repairs and quotes and then have the seller escrow a certain amount of dollars that have to be paid until his insurance company can handle the reimbursements. So those are a couple options that we're looking at, but we should have some more clarity by the first of next week as to the process of what we'll do. Again, depending on the extent of the damages, we have to wait till things thaw out a little bit to see if anything else snaps out there. I've heard that they've been holding their own pretty well. They have maintained heat, which has been good, but they have had some breaks, mostly in the fire, sprinkler fire risers, which seems to be the biggest problem across the whole city of Austin, has been in the fire risers.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, are there any other questions of Ron and Suzanne? Yes, Mr. Ritchie.
The
first deal we've done like this in terms of getting a loan from Fannie Mae. We've done others because I don't recall, but we may have. But I'm just curious whether we've done another deal where we took out a loan from Fannie Mae.
I didn't get a very clear question. I'm thinking you asked, have we done other loans with Fannie Mae?
Yes, that was his question, Ron.
Yes, and yes, every single one of our portfolio acquisitions are either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And what we do is we bid these out to both, and they compete for Austin Affordable's business because we're such good clients. And so we choose the best terms and the best interest rates we can get based on, you know, their investors that are buying these notes. So depending on the battle between Fannie and Freddie is who we decide to go with in terms of the direction. But I would say we're probably more heavily weighted to Freddie Mac than Fannie, but we do have loan portfolios with both Freddie and Fannie.
And Ron, is that also true of our not just our AHC portfolio, but also of our RAD portfolio where we have done financing?
That's correct. All of our portfolio through RAD is Fannie and Freddie, and Ann would know the breakdown on that. I think I don't have it in front of me, but it's all Fannie. I think it's all Fannie.
But they're very fluent in our work and in housing authority conversion work, as well as in these types of financings, and we have strong relationships with both of the GSEs.
They also have incredible affordable loan programs, and that's why they're so desirable. And versus going to a conventional bank or any type of conventional type of debt, when you hit Fannie and Freddie, they have an affordable loan program based on the buyer, based on the project, based on the amount of affordability that we're providing dictates those interest rates benefits that we get, and then they can work that based on their investor pool. So it is a competitive process between the two of them, and it's kind of fun to watch because they play against each other as to who, you know, depending on their portfolio, how much they need to get out on the street also dictates that as well. So but it is very competitive between the two agencies.
Ron, would you one more time? I'm sorry, Mr. Gerber. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask Mr. Carrington if you would, prior to staff would recommend and ask for a motion approving resolution 00179 related to the James on South First, but we would ask that you also ask if there's any citizens' communication, just to make sure we didn't miss anybody from the public.
Thank you, Mr. Gerber. Is there any citizen communication on James on South First, which is resolution 00179. Any other comments or questions from the commissioners?
I'd just like to echo Commissioner Duncan Hall's comment about the chart on the income limit that was put in the board packet. That is very helpful in terms of looking at what we're doing. So I'd commend the staff for doing this.
Thank you.
I agree. Thank you all very much. If there are no other questions or no other comments, then I would ask for a motion to approve resolution 00179. And what that resolution does is give the staff the authority to move forward with all of the documentation and the actions that are needed to accomplish the acquisition of James on South First. Mr. Ritchie, is there anything else I should have put in that? Okay, if not, do I hear a motion?
I so move.
Okay, Tyra motioned. Commissioner Ritchie, are you motioning? Are you doing a second? Okay.
So, also made a motion.
I'm sorry. So Commissioner Duncan Hall made the motion. Commissioner Ritchie made the second. Any more questions, comments? If not, I call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty. Thank you all, and good luck. Hope there are not too many repairs that need to be done that slow this down. Good work, Ron and Suzanne. And I echo the comments about the information that was in the package. And I think do you want to close the meeting of the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, Mr. Ritchie and Mr. Gerber?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then I will ask for a motion to close the meeting of the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. Chuck?
I so move.
Tyra, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? The meeting of the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation is closed at, is it 12:44?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
At 12:44.
Commissioner Carrington and Chairman Ritchie, we would then go back to item number 9 on the Housing Authority of the City of Austin agenda. This action basically ratifies the action you just took related to the James on South First. It's resolution number 2694 by the Board of Commissioners of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin to take the actions necessary to purchase and to acquire the James, including acquiring the site of the development, 2, leasing the development site to the owner of the development, and again, 3, other actions necessary or convenient to carry out these resolutions. So again, we would ask for approval of resolution 02694.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Carrington. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Duncan Hall. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. With that, I think all of our business has been conducted. Let me have us go back to the Austin Affordable Public Facilities Corporation and then entertain a motion to adjourn that meeting, because we opened it up, but we didn't take any action, but we need to adjourn that meeting.
I make a motion to adjourn. Can I do that as chair?
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And with that, the chair will entertain a motion. Before I do that, let me just make one comment. Let me just thank each of you as board members for your commitment, dedication to this organization. We had a tough year last year, and we're in some tough circumstances today. As we meet, and especially given one commissioner is without power, you know, for you all to make the effort to be here to make sure we're able to do the agency's business, I just want to say thank you for your commitment and your dedication. And then also, I just want to say thank you to the staff for your commitment and dedication, for your passionate work, for your compassion for our residents. This has been a really tough time. On top of COVID, we're having to deal with this weather situation. I think we have yesterday we had a number of developments that were without water, without power, and in some cases a combination of both. And we had folks who needed, residents who needed food, and then we had staff members who needed, they were without power and needed places to stay. And the staff really stepped up. They have been working hard. As Commissioner Carrington noted yesterday in one of our the briefing calls, we could sense the frustration and the fatigue in some of their voices, but we just want you all to know that we are proud of what you're doing. You are doing a great job. Continue at it. Whatever you do, take a break. Think about yourselves and your family so you don't get burnt out. We will get through this. We're doing a great job because we have identified the problem. We have a plan of action. We're implementing and working that plan. Just be patient with yourself and be patient with others. But again, I just am very proud of the passion you have for the work that you do and for the compassion you have for your residents that we serve and with each other. The one thing I notice in these calls is that we have a lot of type A personality people. But with that, we have a lot, but with that, your type of personalities give way to your patience because you allow other team members to speak, to take the lead, and you're being supportive of them when you need to be. And so, again, I think we've got the best staff in the entire world, regardless of whether it's a public or private organization. And I'm so proud of each and every one of you all. Again, just be patient with yourself. Keep at it. We got a plan. Just keep working the plan. Every little, you know, you just want to make a little progress, because if you make a little progress, you'll make more. Don't try to do it all in one day, but just keep at it and just keep believing in yourself.
Carl, I got to get off. Everybody stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Motion by Commissioner Carrington, seconded by Commissioner Duncan Hall. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. And we are adjourned at 12:57 p.m. on Thursday, February 18th.